This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Early voting is underway in North Carolina, and one of the races that we're casting ballots for in this state is the state's highest court. The General Assembly recently passed a law that makes the Supreme Court race partisan for the first time in years. Lawmakers also eliminated the judicial primary, so now more than one candidate from each party can appear on the ballot. This year, that means two Republicans are running for a seat on the state Supreme Court. We spoke with Republican incumbent Justice Barbara Jackson on Monday. Yesterday, we spoke with Democratic challenger Anita Earls. And today, we're joined by the other Republican on the ballot, Chris Anglin. He is managing partner at Anglin Law Firm in Raleigh, which primarily deals with personal injury cases, graduated from Elon University School of Law in 2011, and created the Anglin Law Leadership Award, which is a scholarship for second-year law students at Campbell University. Chris Anglin, welcome to the State of Things.
And I want to thank you for having me, and thank you for all the listeners out there who are tuning in for this important race.
Well, thank you. Why are you running for Supreme Court?
I'm running for the state Supreme Court because I wanted to stand up for the independence of the judiciary. The General Assembly has tried to make the judiciary an extension of themselves, and I'm running in order to highlight that judicial partisan elections are a bad idea, and also to give disaffected Republicans the option to vote for someone who will stand up to the General Assembly in their rulings.
Well, let's talk about that partisanship, because you were a registered Democrat and then registered to vote or to run for this office as a Republican. Republicans are claiming you're just doing that as a kind of a stalking horse, a way to draw votes away from the incumbent, the Republican incumbent, and that's really what this is all about, that you're just trying to do that and a shorter win for Anita Earls. Is that true?
Well, I'm certainly not running as a stalking horse for the Democrats. And secondly, this is an election. Of course, I'm trying to pull away votes from Barbara Jackson, just like I am trying to pull away votes for Anita Earls. I mean, that's like saying that in a sporting event, you're not supposed to score on the other team. Of course, I'm going to win, but I'm running because I think a strong two-party system is important to this state and country, and I think that the current General Assembly has gone so far afield of traditional conservative Republican values, specifically dealing with the judicial branch being a separate and co-equal branch of government as set out in our state constitution. I wanted to give voters, and specifically conservative voters, an opportunity to vote for someone who believes in those conservative values. And also, I think it's not necessarily a conservative value, but it's also a believing in the Constitution is an American one as well.
Well, tell us more about that. What do you think the legislature, as you say, is affecting the fairness of the judiciary? How so? What's the impact been, and how do they do that?
I mean, I think there has been a number of things that have occurred in the last several years. Firstly, they got rid of the public funding of judicial elections in 2014. And then in 2016, after the Supreme Court race was nonpartisan, but the Democrat won, Michael Morgan, but the Court of Appeals races were partisan, where there's an RRD next to your name, and all five Republican candidates won those races. So then they changed it to partisan, and we were the first state in over 50 years to change from nonpartisan to partisan. And then they eliminated judicial primaries, which most people said was a terrible idea, so that created a system where it was an open ballot and as many people could run as possible. And they did this over a lawsuit which was filed by the Democrats, which eventually lost in federal court. And the judge, in her ruling and her questioning of their attorney, warned that this was a possibility. There could be more than one candidate of that particular party affiliation. And then the list is endless, but Dallas Woodhouse, the state director of the GOP, he threatened to impeach the Supreme Court justices unless if they ruled against the General Assembly in the constitutional amendments cases, and he also called respected Republican jurist Bob Orr revolting.
Well, let's talk more about some of those and again, this some of the changes that have taken place, because, of course, the cynical charge against you is that you changed your affiliation from Democrat to Republican to draw votes from a Republican. The cynical charge against the General Assembly was that they had created a partisan race, eliminated the primaries, I should say, hoping that a number of Democrats would run in this race. And in fact, it's two Republicans. So if that was their intention, it certainly backfired on them. But let me ask you this. If you you talked about this being a conservative value, that you wanted to attract Republicans who you feel think the same way about what the General Assembly has done to the judiciary. Do you sense that there is a sentiment out there that there are a number of Republicans who say this General Assembly has gone too far, they no longer represent us?
Absolutely. In many of the forums throughout the state that I've gone to, people who are registered Republicans, they've come up to me and said they're in favor of what I'm doing, and they think that this current General Assembly has hijacked the Republican Party and taken it in a direction which they don't like. And also, just as another example, a conservative a group linked to the General Assembly sent out flyers asking Democrats to run for appellate races in order to attempt to dilute the Democratic vote. Right. Even though they had no affiliation with the Democratic Party whatsoever.
Let's talk about your qualifications now. The other two candidates in this race have had experience on the bench and long experience, legal experience. Talk about your legal experience.
My legal experience has been one, I like to call it walk in the door law. From when I first started, I took a wide array of cases, from court-appointed criminal cases to real estate closings and wills and estate planning, to civil litigation involving things such as construction law, employment, and personal injury. And then over time, I've kind of narrowed my focus down to civil litigation. But during that time, I've seen how the judicial system affects everyday North Carolinians and small businesses. And through what I've done in small claims court and civil and district and superior court, and then I've practiced in every trial level court in North Carolina, including federal court. So I've seen how the judicial system affects everyday North Carolinians, and I think I bring, and from that real life experience, I would bring that to the bench, and I would try to institute changes which would be helpful to individuals.
How can you do that from the bench, and what kind of changes would that be?
Changes I would push to implement would be, firstly, electronic filing. I'm running on an access to justice theme. Electronic filing would be very helpful because it can help cases being decided quicker, and it would also reduce costs to the litigants involved in those cases. And I think there also needs to be a right to court-appointed attorneys in certain civil cases. Everyone knows currently that they can get attorneys in criminal cases, mm-hmm. but you generally cannot in civil. So I think that there should be an opportunity for North Carolinians to get a court-appointed counsel in cases like eviction, employment, and workers' compensation and unpaid wages, just as examples. Because when there is a lawyer, when you don't have a lawyer, there's a huge disparity in the outcome. Legal aid, their statistic is, when you have an attorney in an eviction case, you win the tenant wins 50% of the time. But when they don't have an attorney, they only win 10% of the time.
Well, so that would be one of the reforms that you'd like to see instituted. The General Assembly, getting back to them, has proposed a constitutional amendment that we're voting on right now. Early voting is underway in the state of North Carolina. That would change the way judicial vacancies, or who has authority over judicial vacancies. What do you think about that?
I think it's just another example of the General Assembly's naked power grab to try to make the court basically a division of the General Assembly. And it's clear they no longer respect the state constitution. And the concern is that's been discussed a fair amount is that if that passes, the Supreme Court, just by in the General Assembly can enact this, the state Supreme Court can be increased to 9 justices. And there's the worry that if this amendment passes, they're gonna appoint two justices in order to sway the balance of the court.
So they create two new places, which they are authorized to do, and then since they have authorized themselves through this constitutional amendment, should the voters approve it, they would then appoint those, and that would tip the balance.
Yes, and it's called court packing, and unfortunately, there's no the Democrats are powerless to stop it. Because
now it could, but the courts might, and that might mean that such a case, should the constitutional amendment pass, Democrats are likely to file suit. Perhaps it would be in federal court, but it might make its way through the state court. And if you were on the bench, you'd have to weigh in on this. You've just told me how you feel about it. Could you be fair in assessing the constitutionality of that constitutional amendment should it appear before you?
I think I could be fair and impartial, and if necessary, if I thought it would be a conflict of interest, I would have no problem recusing myself from the case.
Again, talk about fairness. You've expressed a fair amount of hostility toward the General Assembly, at least with regard to the judiciary. If they pass laws that, again, find their way to you based on their constitutionality, how would you deal with that animosity when you're looking at legislation passed by a General Assembly that clearly you don't agree with?
Well, first off, I think in the judicial forums I've been to, including appellate judges, one of the most consistent themes of what they talk about is the importance of an independent judiciary. And when they say that, I mean, they're clearly referring to the General Assembly. So I think that based on the comments of other judges running for my seat and also the appellate races, I wouldn't have to recuse myself. But I would be able to remain independent because I'm the only candidate in this race who's not endorsed by a political party. So I have no particular – I don't have any I don't owe anything to any respective party or special interest group in this state. So I think my judicial philosophy is to interpret and not make the law and to be fair and impartial to everyone before me, and I would strive for that.
Right now, I am talking to a Republican candidate for the state Supreme Court, Chris Anglin, and that conversation is happening right here on The State of Things. Earlier in this month, you criticized North Carolina Republican Party Executive Director Dallas Woodhouse for publicizing your arrest in 2009. You were stopped by police in Greensboro, later pleaded guilty to trespassing and driving while impaired. Should that conviction play a part in the way voters consider your fitness for office?
I don't think it should. The last incident, which is referred to, is from December of 2009. That's almost a decade ago. And I don't think that is reflective on my current qualifications to run for judge. And I think, if anything, it should help voters support me, because it was a very humbling experience, and it made me realize that I needed help. And I think when you have a substance abuse issue, the hardest thing to do is ask for help. And there's currently a terrible opiate epidemic which is sweeping this country, and the judiciary plays a major role in trying to help people with substance abuse issues get problems. So I think that provides me a level of understanding which is necessary which is helpful to be a judge these days, because the state Supreme Court, they can play a role in implementing drug diversion courts throughout the state and also creating treatment alternatives instead of people going to jail where they're unlikely to get much help. And I think, and I would encourage people out there with any sort of substance abuse issues to reach out to friends and family and health professionals for help, because that is hands down the hardest step.
This is a question we put to the other two candidates, and I'd like to ask you. It's kind of a general question about our confidence in the judiciary. You talked about the ways in which this General Assembly has tried to affect voting and tried to affect and influence the courts in this state. And we've seen it at the national level as well, certainly a rancorous and difficult debate over Supreme Court. How do you think the public feels about the judiciary? Do we still have confidence that there is an independent third branch of government now?
I think, unfortunately, all the changes or all the things that have happened at the state and national level over the last several years it has certainly not helped people's confidence in the judiciary, because they see all this infighting between the parties, and they think that the judges' decisions are going to be influenced. And I mean, I think it's important for people to know that the vast majority of judges are going to rule in a fair and an impartial way, generally, and in their particular political affiliations don't necessarily. It's not generally going to affect the outcomes, because most of the cases that they're ruling on have no political or ideological leanings, because it's not relevant to the case. But I think there do need to be changes in the way which the judiciary works and appointments are made, at least at the federal level, in order to make it as non-political as possible. And I'm currently the only candidate in my race who is completely against partisan elections.
Chris Anglin is managing partner at Anglin Law Firm in Raleigh, North Carolina, running for a seat on the state Supreme Court. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. We've already spoken with Barbara Jackson. She's the incumbent and a Republican, also running for Supreme Court, and Anita Earls. She's a Democrat. We spoke with her yesterday. And you can find out and links to those conversations and this one at our website, stateofthings.org. As a reminder, early voting is underway in our state, runs through Saturday. You can register and vote at the same time. It goes through November 3rd. It's underway now. Thanks for listening to The State of Things, produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.